If you have your Bibles, please open them at 1 Corinthians chapter 3, as we look at this morning. You've maybe heard of the TV program Homes Under the Hammer. Well, for the Arnold family, their lovely little cottage outside Guildford literally came under the hammer because they failed to build in the correct way. They added an extra 70% to their house with a rear and side extension, a nice new sunroom and a garage. It became a bit of a mansion. But when the council found out, well, they inspected the building and the couple were taken to court. They were ordered to demolish it because they hadn't adhered to any building regulations or planning approval throughout the whole process. They might well have had good foundations in place, but they didn't build in the right way or with the right materials. It was judged as being inadequate, and all that work came to nothing. Paul talks about building here in chapter 3 of 1 Corinthians. In it, we'll see the foundation that we must have in place and how we are to build on it. And then we'll see the final inspection on our lives. Remember that Paul had established this church in Corinth, but after leaving them, he heard reports about their behavior. Much of their conduct was out of step with what he had taught them and what he had preached in the gospel message. But because of his love for these people and the gospel, he wrote this letter to them to address some of these issues and seek to bring them back into line. Paul already had used a couple of metaphors in this chapter 3 to describe some of the problems. In verses 1 to 4, he described them as infants in Christ. He talked about how they were immature, they were still on milk rather than progressing on to solid food. Then in verses 5 to 9, he used a farming illustration where the church is described as God's field. These people were boasting in certain preachers, but Paul was clear that one planted, another watered, but God gave the growth. And we heard about the work of the Holy Spirit in doing that last week as we looked at this passage. Then as we come to verse 9, Paul transitions into a building example. You are God's field, God's building. And a building example would have been particularly familiar to the people in Corinth. It was a growing city. There would have been much building going on around him, and Paul drew attention to that. And so here in verse 10, he mentions that he has laid a foundation like a skilled master builder. And in verse 11, the only foundation laid is Jesus Christ, he says. So the first thing we need to realize as we think about this construction site of our lives is that there is only one foundation, Jesus Christ. There is only one foundation, Jesus Christ. One of the worst stadium disasters that ever happened in history was recorded in 27 AD. It was one of the amphitheaters in Rome where many of the gladiator fights took place. But because the foundations weren't sufficient, they were unstable, the structure collapsed, and it's said that about 20,000 people were killed in that disaster. See, it's essential that there is a solid foundation in any building, that it is built well, because ultimately, if it's not, if it doesn't have that right foundation, it will bring disaster. There can be no shortcuts taken, there can be no alternative materials used in that foundation. And this is the same principle when we think of the Christian life and what it's built upon. As Paul is addressing this church, he's talking about the foundation, but he says that he is a skilled master builder and has laid a foundation. The term he's using here is this sense of being a qualified architect, someone who knows what he's talking about. It's not he's bragging about how great he is, that he's this master of the trades, no. Because he draws attention to the grace of God that has been given to him. God was using him and other apostles to lay this spiritual foundation of the church as they proclaimed the good news of Jesus Christ. Paul said at the start of chapter 2, I did not come proclaiming to you the testimony of God with lofty speech or wisdom, for I decided to know nothing among you except Jesus Christ and him crucified. It was the message of Jesus Christ and him crucified that laid the foundation for the church. because as Jesus suffered and died on the cross, his blood was shed for the forgiveness of our sin. And he accomplished a work that none of us could do. Only he could rebuild that relationship between sinful people and a holy God. And so today, if your lives have been joined to him through faith, well, then we've been set in him just like the strongest of concrete. Because in Christ, we have a solid and a firm foundation, one that can't be shaken even in the midst of the biggest storms of life. Even when everything else around us seems to be crumbling, whether it's due to poor health, or money problems, or grief, or family difficulties, whatever kind of struggle you're going through at this time in your life, you can be assured that if you're in Christ, you will never be moved. He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He will never leave you or forsake you, as he has promised. But Paul makes clear that Christ is the only foundation that his ministry and that each of our lives can be built on. He says that there's no other foundation can be laid. There's no alternative. There's no substitute. There's nothing equivalent to Jesus Christ. All other ground is sinking sand, as the hymn says. Yet so many people today are trusting in other ground, aren't they? Maybe trusting in their education, trusting in a certain career path to get them through life and to provide for them. Maybe depending on having a healthy lifestyle, regular exercise and diet. Maybe that foundation in their life is moral integrity, being a good person, being a good attender at church, or looking after their family well. That's their foundation. There are many things we can try to lay down as a foundation in our life. But this week in particular, with the outbreak of coronavirus, we've seen that everything can come to a standstill in an instant. We can be healthy one day and hit with a virus the next, or some illness that's going to debilitate our lives. The stock market can collapse. We can lose a fortune in an instant. Schools can close down. Supermarket shelves can become empty of toilet roll and hand sanitizer just like that. It's crazy. Widespread panic because people don't have this solid foundation in their life. They're trusting in something other than Christ Jesus. The thing is, people think they're being wise in the things that they're trusting in. Verse 19 says, the wisdom of this world is foolishness with God. As Jesus taught in the Sermon on the Mount, the wise man is the one who built his house on the rock. There is only one rock, and that is Jesus Christ. And so Paul is saying here in verse 11 that our foundation is either Jesus or nothing else. There is no foundation that will endure through a worldwide pandemic or stand for all time, but only Jesus. He is the only one that we can have as a foundation that will endure through all these things. But do you have that solid foundation in your life? Is it in Christ alone that your hope is found? Is he your cornerstone that brings you through the fiercest drought and storm or virus or whatever it may be? Is Christ your foundation today? It is great to have that solid foundation in your life when you're saved by grace through faith in Christ. But what about the building work that comes after that? Because how we build on the foundation matters, and that's what we're going to look at secondly. How we build on the foundation matters. If any of you have ever been to the self-build show in Belfast, you'll know just how many options there are if you're building a house. Under one roof at Titanic Quarters, hundreds and hundreds of different stands trying to promote their thing as the best things in sliced bread, great materials, great ways of building, and they're saying that you need them for your project. But these options need to be weighed up. You need to decide how you're going to build. We heard last week about the Holy Spirit and the work of the Holy Spirit in God's people. The Holy Spirit is building up God's people. And when someone has Christ as their foundation, God continues to work in their life. Verse 16 says, do you not know that you are God's temple and that God's Spirit dwells in you? God dwells in those who are in Christ by his Spirit. He is at work and he will bring that work to completion in your life. Yet we still have a responsibility. We We have a responsibility to walk and step with the Spirit and to join in that building work. Paul says here, let each one take care how he builds upon the foundation. See, Paul was taking care in how he was building as he proclaimed the good news of Jesus and his ministry. And so too, each believer here is called to build on what they've already received in Christ. But how we build is very important. The right materials need to be used. See, these Corinthians hadn't taken much care in the way they built or the type of materials that they were building their lives with. Yes, they had a foundation in place, but Paul told them they were still like infants in milk. He said that there was jealousy, there was conflict among them, that they were following after certain preachers. They were boasting in them rather than boasting in Christ. Verse 18 says that they were deceiving themselves, thinking they were wise in this age. I don't think any of us want to be deceived like that. And so I think we must carefully consider the materials that we use to build up our spiritual lives. And Paul gives us a list of materials in verse 12 that are used to build on the foundation. He mentions gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, straw. Of course, he's not talking about the materials that we need to build the new hall out there or to build some church building. These are things that are referred to in other places in the Bible. For example, take Psalm 19, verse 10, where it talks about God's word, and it says it is more precious than gold, than much pure gold. Or Psalm 119, verse 72, God's word is more precious to me than thousands of pieces of silver and gold. Or Proverbs 3, 14 talks about God's wisdom being more precious than rubies. We could also mention Isaiah 40, verse 8, which says, the grass withers and the flower falls, but the word of God endures forever. Paul is writing to people who had Christ as their foundation, but instead of building their lives on the enduring word of God, the truth, instead of building their lives on the apostles' teaching, they were listening to all sorts of things in the world around them. It was as if God's word wasn't enough for them. And so they pursued all sorts of worldly wisdom and things of the age, as we read there in verse 18. But although these things maybe sounded intelligent, sounded appealing, well, Paul's saying it's the same as building with hay or straw. It might give a warm, fuzzy feeling or a sense of accomplishment for a while, but it's not much good for building up your Christian life. So instead of running after things that ultimately will be burned up, will come to nothing, Paul urges them to build their lives on God's word, listen to sound doctrine, be built up in it. This is the precious gold and silver and rubies that produce a beautiful, lasting life in Christ Jesus. And the more our focus is brought to Christ as we look at God's word, then the more we're built up in him, the more we're strengthened in him. I wonder, do you know that in your life today? You maybe say you're a Christian. You maybe can pinpoint a time when you say you became a Christian. You can say that you have a foundation. But how have you been building your life on that foundation? Have you really taken seriously the need to get into God's word, to listen to sound instruction and doctrine? Are you regularly here every week wanting to hear God's word? Are you taking in sound doctrine and the things that you read, or do you just pick up a book because it's got a nice cover on it? Or maybe you listen to someone online because they're supposedly popular and the latest thing. Look, as people here in Drumrea, we've no excuse to be building with the wrong materials. You hear the word of God clearly every week here. We have a wealth of resources that we can access. We don't need to just Google for an answer or build aimlessly, but we can come to hear the truth. You are in a church where God's word is central. You have a minister who I know would love to encourage you and point you in the direction of sound resources and things that you can use to build you up and equip you in that walk. Maybe you'll be looking for some of those things if you have to self-isolate in the next few weeks. But how are we building up our lives in Christ? So we've established that there is one foundation, Jesus Christ, that it's important how we build our Christian lives, because in the end, God will bring the final assessment. God will bring the final assessment. At the start, I mentioned that home that came under the hammer. literally, because it wasn't built right. But with any building project, there comes a time when building control have to come and make an assessment of the work, and they have to sign it off or not. You either receive a completion certificate, or you're told your work was inadequate, and in worst case, it has to be pulled down. But only the surveyor is qualified to make that judgment. At the start of chapter 4, Paul talks about people judging him. They judged between the different preachers of the day, whether it was Paul or others. They judged whether they were up to scratch or not. They were making their views known. I think we can quite often be quick to do that in church as well. We hear a sermon, and the first thing we talk about after is how well or how poorly the preacher has performed, so to speak, rather than focusing on the message of Christ and how it's applied to your life. So often we're distracted by talking about the preacher. We might also judge whether someone actually is a Christian, whether they have Christ as their foundation or not. We might judge then how they're living their life and whether they are going on in their faith. See, those in Corinth were making premature and immature judgments, especially about Paul. But he's very clearly not concerned about this, because he says here it's only the Lord who judges him. He says in verse 5, "Do not pronounce judgment before the time, before the Lord comes, who will bring to light the things now hidden in darkness and will disclose the purposes of the heart." There is coming a day when God will judge all people. He'll judge every one of us here today. God is the ultimate assessor as our lives are completely exposed and laid bare before him. There will be a verdict determined on whether Christ is our foundation or not. And if we don't have Christ in our life, if we haven't that foundation, well, then we will justly be in hell. But Paul is writing here to Christians. They have Christ as their foundation, so they will not receive that eternal condemnation in hell. But yet each Christian will undergo an assessment by God on that final day. In verse 13 of chapter 3, it says, "Each one's work will become manifest, for the day will disclose it, because it will be revealed by fire, and the fire will test what sort of work each one has done." It matters how you live your life for Christ. It really does. The well-known missionary to China, C.T. Studd, famously said, "Only one life twill soon be passed. Only what's done for Christ will last." And that's the sense we have here as Paul speaks of this testing fire on the last day. Anything that's done in your life that's contrary to God's word or has been dependent on something else as your foundation will come to nothing. It'll be burnt up like wood and hay and straw. It'll be of no use. Yes, with Christ as your foundation, we will be saved on that last day. But what a waste of a life's work if we have invested in and built with the wrong materials. Think of the hours and weeks and months that could have been spent doing something useful for Christ, something that would have lasted and have been of benefit to his kingdom and his church. Surely we'd much rather receive that reward promised in verse 14. I won't speculate about what that reward will look like in glory, but there will be one for those who have held fast to God's word and are in Christ Jesus. Verse 5 of chapter 4 says each one will receive a commendation from God. Surely if you're in Christ today and he is your foundation, you will long to hear those words, "Well done, my good and faithful servant." Well done for faithfully upholding others in prayer. Well done for working with integrity and honesty as you went about your business. Well done for selflessly caring for others who are in need and in desperate situations. Well done for your sacrifice and giving, or for teaching your children God's word, or for taking opportunities to make Christ known among your family and amongst your neighbors and those you meet. I could go on and go on. But it's certainly not just the minister or the elders who will be receiving that reward in eternity. It's each one who has Christ as their foundation, those who continue to build their life on him and his word and live that out in every area of your life. See, as Paul wrote this letter to the church, he wasn't wanting people just to get into glory by the skin of their teeth. He didn't want them to waste their Christian life by building foolishly on the things that would be burnt up and have no eternal benefit. No, he wanted them to marvel in what Christ had accomplished for them in his death and resurrection, knowing that he is the only solid, lasting foundation that we can have. But are you sure of that foundation in your life today? Do you have Christ as that solid rock, particularly in these days of coronavirus and all the scary things that are coming with it? Do you have Christ as your foundation? As the Holy Spirit continues to work in us, may we seek to build our lives in Christ by trusting in his word and seeking to live that out in every area of our lives. Remember, only what is done for Christ will last. When God gives that final assessment on the foundation and how you have built your life, what sort of commendation will you or I receive on that final day? Let's pray. Lord God, we thank you for the message of Jesus Christ and how we have heard it from your word. We thank you that Christ is that firm foundation, that solid rock on which our lives are built, if we have been saved by faith in him. But Lord, may we continue to build our lives on him. May we continue to use those materials which are of value and of worth, your precious word, your enduring word. May we seek to encourage each other and build each other up as we meet together and are taught from your word, the truth. And Lord, as we go out from here, may we seek to live that out in all aspects of our life. May we be building with those things, Lord, that are precious. And Lord, not the things that will perish with the using. Lord, we know that one day we will stand before you and we will have to face that great assessment. Lord, we long to hear those words, "Well done, good and faithful servant." Lord, may we seek to remember that as we live out our lives for you this week, with that wonderful privilege of one day being in glory firmly fixed in our minds. Lord, we pray this in Jesus' name.